All right, I'll try to be quick tonight. I'll do my best. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. The Bible says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Psalm 18, verse 25. Bible says, "With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright." In other words, there's some kind of deal here where if you've got the right kind of Christian character, God will treat you the way you treat other people. Both of those are positive. If you're merciful to those, with the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. It's kind of like that golden rule, you know, as you would that others should do unto you. Yeah. You want to be treated. You want to treat other people like you want to be treated.
Yes.
We've been talking about these Christian virtues or traits, and this one tonight is just being merciful. You ever seen such a thing as now when people have no mercy?
Mm-hmm.
No compassion? The Bible talks about being past feeling, and that's kind of where it looks like everybody.
Yeah.
There's so many ads nowadays. It's not gone. There's a lot of people that are merciful. And a lot of people have compassion. But, boy, there's a lot of people now that don't. They just don't. How can they do the things they're doing to other people? The violence, the murders, all of the things they're doing. And have any kind of mercy? No. Mercy is a trait that you show mercy because you've received mercy. You show mercy, but it's more than that. You don't have to receive mercy to be merciful. The merciful are those who are so affected by the suffering of others that they're moved to help them. Now, that's what mercy is. Don't forget that. That's what, if we've received the mercy of God, you need to realize that it is because God has had compassion on us, and He did something to help us. He didn't just feel sorry for us. He did something. You know, compassion comes before mercy. You can't have mercy without compassion. But you can have compassion without mercy. A lot of people do that. We do that often. We say, "Boy, be you warmed and filled, and then go your way."
Mm-hmm.
We don't do anything. We just feel bad for them, and we solace ourselves in our sympathetic feelings. We think because we feel that way, there's some kind of virtue in us because of that. No. No. Compassion is sympathy, and that's a feeling. It's sympathy with the suffering of others, while mercy is action to alleviate the suffering. Mercy is action to do something to help. Compassion is just feeling bad about it. Boy, I sure feel bad for you. Feel sorry for you. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. So that's the way it is with this. Mercy that's exercised at the expense of truth and justice and law is not true mercy at all. Now listen to me about that. Truth and mercy go together. Or else it's not really mercy. It's really, well, many seem to think of mercy as being tolerance of transgression and wickedness. That's not what mercy is. Tolerance. Mercy is not tolerance. It don't even come close to a definition like that. A lot of people consider a merciful person one who pretends not to see, or one who is easygoing and acts as if it doesn't matter if truth and law are broken. But God's described in the Bible as merciful, full of mercy and truth. And this definition doesn't fit him at all here, where he overlooks sin, wrong, violating the law, denying the truth, ignoring the truth, to help somebody who's doing that. That's not mercy. Psalm 130 and verse 7 says, "Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, And with Him is plenteous redemption. So with the Lord there is mercy. His mercies are renewed every morning, every day. His mercies are new. He doesn't get tired of showing mercy. Luke 6 and verse 36, Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Be like God in this matter. It's part of godliness, being merciful toward other people. Being merciful is not just feeling sorry for them. I'll say it again. It's doing something about it. Psalm 85:10, you quoted that verse a while ago. It says, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Now, it's talking about in Christ. Through God, mercy and truth can go together. The world has some kind of a mercy they show, but they disregard the truth. And it doesn't work like that. It won't work. It won't have the same effect. You have to stay loyal to the truth, faithful to the truth. You have to regard the truth. It has to be withheld. It can't be violated. It has to be upheld. It can't be violated. And you can still show mercy. That's what God did for you. That's what God did for me. He didn't deny His law. He didn't violate His justice to save me or to show me mercy. He maintains the truth. That's how come Jesus, that's why it says in Romans, I believe chapter 5, I may be having a chapter wrong here, but that He might be just and the justifier of them that believe. He can stay just and justify me. Because Jesus bore it all. Jesus was the substitute. Jesus was the atonement for my sin. So God didn't violate His law because somebody stepped up and took my place to fulfill the law and show me mercy while keeping the truth intact. Couldn't have been any other way. There's no contradiction between mercy and truth. And there's no contradiction between mercy and justice either. They're not opposed to one another, but they work in harmony. That's why our law and our courts, they must have these two elements together in order to mete out justice and have the right kind of judgment. For us to have a law that maintain law and order, the courts have to operate in mercy and truth. Now, it's not, you know, we can't just say to somebody who's a known murderer and he's guilty and everybody knows and he knows and it's proven, well, we just feel sorry for you. We're going to let you go this time. You can't do that.
No.
You're violating justice. You're violating the truth. But there has to be mercy involved in everything also. Truth with no mercy is rough. Be rough on all of us. I mean, you yourself tonight, if you got what you really deserved, if justice alone was served to you, where would you be tonight? I don't think anybody here could honestly say that they would be okay with that. No, what else entered into the equation? Mercy. You received mercy. You received mercy from God, and you received mercy from others. Better be thankful for that. There was an old song that you sang in church every now and then, and it was, help me, mercy, mercy, God's love and mercy. That's right. If I'd
gotten justice,
we'd surely be lost.
I found mercy, I know, And his
cross. That's right. But I found mercy.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Amen. There's no contradiction. Mercy and grace, they're somewhat related. Titus chapter 1 verse 4, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith. He says, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. And also 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy both start with that same word, with those same words. Grace, mercy, and peace. Somebody said grace is especially associated with men in their sins, and mercy is especially associated with men in their misery. Do you see what that means, what that says? Grace is associated with men in their sins. And while mercy looks at the misery and suffering caused by sin, see, grace is not unmerited favor. Grace is the divine influence upon the heart that and life that causes a man to depart from sin and live a holy life. And they talk about grace a lot nowadays, but that's not the same grace they're talking about. I hear them talking about grace as if it is the atonement for sin. Grace covers it all. No, grace doesn't cover a thing. There's nothing like that in the Bible whatsoever. There's no connection, no kind of wording in the Bible, no kind of teaching, no kind of insinuation of such a thing in the Bible that grace covers anything. And then they call it unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. That's not what grace is. You look it up in the dictionary, it's the divine influence upon the heart and life that causes a man to depart from sin and live a holy life, conforming more and more to the Son of God. That's what grace does. Grace teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's what grace does. Grace teaches us. Bible says in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Here we go. I've already quoted it. But for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Is that really true? All men? I think so. That's what it says. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We're saved by grace, not by mercy. Listening to me? We're not saved by mercy. We're saved by grace. How's that? Is it the grace that saves us? No, it's Jesus who saves us. But grace brings us to Him. Grace is, remember, that divine influence upon the heart. Grace brings us to the Savior. The grace of God. The influence of God. The call of God. God dealing with our hearts. That's grace. That's saying, come. Come. The bride, Spirit and the Bride say, come. Mercy, on the other hand, could be called unmerited favor. It fits the bill for that. Mercy is when I don't get what I deserve. And it's when I do get what I don't deserve. That's mercy. Somebody showed mercy when I'm not held to what I deserve. Or when I get what I don't deserve. Favor shown when judgment, punishment, and misery are what are really deserved. You've all got a sense of justice in your heart. Everybody does. You know what it feels like when you've been treated unfairly. When you've been done an injustice, when you see somebody else done an injustice, you smart at that. It displeases you. It's that old thing of the bad guys winning. You don't ever like that. Nobody ever likes that. The most wicked people don't. Something in them revolts at the evil prevailing and winning. That ain't the way it is. We rejoice. All people rejoice when the good guy wins, when righteousness prevails, when evil is punished. So we know. We say, don't judge, you can't judge, judge not, and all of that, but everybody does it anyway.
Yep.
You know when somebody's done wrong and they deserve to be punished for it.
Yep.
And you want them punished. So you can do that with yourself too.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at yourself honestly and realize that you need to be punished. You deserve misery for what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
And mercy is when you don't, it doesn't happen. When you find forgiveness and mercy instead. Something done to relieve suffering that justice says is well deserved. You know, like when this country has always been this way in wars. When the war ends or when they capture an enemy, what have they always been shown?
Mercy.
Mercy. Other countries don't do that so much. The Japanese put them in camps and starved them to death and beat them and tortured them. Germany did too.
Yep. Yep.
When the war was about to be lost by Germany, they ran as hard as they could to get to the Western Front so they would be captured by the Americans, because they knew the Americans would show them mercy. Mercy is a Christian virtue. Be ye merciful. The Bible said, I just read it to you a while ago. Are you merciful? Are you merciful to your husband, your wife, your children? Are you merciful to the stranger out here somewhere? Now, you might have compassion on them, but are you merciful? You know, it's like I said on Sunday school this morning, how much do we really care? How much of a burden do we really have? What does it mean? Do we just have compassion on them and say, that's too bad. Sure hate it for everybody. I sure hate it. They're all going to hell. Wish I could do something about it. No, mercy is when you do something about it. Mercy is when you forgive. It takes mercy to forgive. You have to show mercy to forgive somebody some wrong they have done you. What kind of a person is it? It's certainly not a Christian. Can't be a child of God who will not show mercy. There's another word, merciless. Merciless. That means they just wipe you out. They destroy you with no feeling happy about it, because you deserve it. You had it coming. And everybody's going to be happy because you got what you deserve. But then there's the merciful. Why would you be merciful like that? Well, because if you just do a little thinking, you'd realize that it could have been you. Or it might have been you in the same kind of position. And if you hadn't found mercy, you'd surely have been lost. Thinking that way helps you to show mercy to other people, to be merciful toward other people. Mercy includes a sense of pity plus a desire to relieve the suffering. Without twisting the truth or shifting the blame where it doesn't belong, you know if you're merciful or not when you have it in your power. Or, when you have in your power someone who's transgressed against you, and you can now exercise one of the two, justice or mercy. You know if you're merciful or not. This test, this is how you pass it. When you have somebody in your power to either forgive or meet justice to. Can you show mercy? Will you show mercy? Is that your first desire, to show mercy? Or is your first desire to get even? Make them pay. Give them what they got coming to them. The king's throne is held up by mercy and truth. It's established by mercy and truth. David said that. The king's throne is established. It's made strong. It remains. It's maintained. It stays there. He maintains his authority and his influence by mercy and truth. Yes. Solomon had that, you know, those two women came to him. He had to do that with mercy and truth. Do you see how he did it? Did he compromise the truth? Mm-mm. Nope. Did he show mercy? Sure. He had to figure it out. You know, whoever rules over men, they have to do it in mercy and truth. Or they won't last long. You know whether you're merciful when the test comes. How you feel towards him tells if you're really merciful or not. If your desire for justice blinds you to any mercy, then you're not like the Savior at all. We were reading the Gospels, and we were reading here a while back about John the Baptist, Herod, and his dance, that girl dancing in front of him. And Herod told her, he said, ask what you will to the half of the kingdom, and I'll give it to you. For what? What do you think he was bargaining for? Think how wicked of a man. They came and told Jesus what had happened. And, you know, the Jesus' reaction to it all, and we were talking about it, and I said, you know, just can you just try to imagine what it was like for him to be in the presence of such wickedness and vileness? Herod traded John the Baptist's life for one night with that little whore. That's what he did. And Jesus, it was just so revolting to him. It had to be. I mean, it is to us. In our messed up state and atmosphere we've lived in all of our life. Think if he came from heaven and down to this earth. If anybody had a right to hold people to justice, he did. But he showed mercy. I mean, he went on to the cross and he died for sinners. I mean, he committed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now that's mercy. He did it so we could be saved. He did it so we could be reconciled to God. Made a way for us. He showed mercy to us even though we were guilty. We deserved punishment. We didn't deserve anything that he's done for us. Now, so if we're not like that, we're not like him. And I do believe we're supposed to be like him. I do believe that that is the work of the grace of God and the Spirit of God is to bring us and conform us to the image of his Son. We're to be more and more like him as we go, as we live, as we experience life in this earth with God. And the Spirit of God living in it, we ought to be more like Jesus. That's why they were called Christians. First at Antioch. They acted like Jesus. So how much do you, think about it, you just judge yourself. How much do you act like Jesus in this matter of mercy? How can you be kind to other people if you're not merciful? Huh? How can you have any other Christian virtues like benevolence and love? How can you love somebody and not be merciful to them? You see them suffering and you want to help. And you do what you can to help. Well, God showed, you know, God's mercy was displayed when he sent his Son to deliver sinners from their sin and punishment. That's why he came. That's how he came, in mercy. He saw man's pitiful state as a result of his sin and had mercy on him. And he didn't sympathize with his sin, but he sympathized with his present and future misery because of his sin. You know, it's like we talked about Wednesday night about the demon-possessed boy of the centurion and how It didn't matter how they got to that state. He needs help now. He don't need you to analyze and figure out what's wrong and whose fault it is and how this happened so you can blame somebody. They just need mercy. They need help. That's what the centurion said. If thou canst do anything, have mercy on us and help us. So he was asking the right one. Full of mercy and truth. That's Jesus. That's how the Bible describes him. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed one another. That's Jesus. He's talking about when Jesus comes. You're going to see this in a man. Mercy and truth, like it's supposed to be. Perfectly displayed. God showed mercy by forming a means to deal with sin, which is the cause of all the death and misery in this whole universe. And God, in His mercy, devised a plan to put a stop to it and to erase its effects. In the end, death's abolished. When this is all over, it's going to be as if it never happened for the ones who belong to God. Everybody's going to be alive. Everybody that's ever been born is going to be alive forever. You realize that? Not just the saved people. Christ abolished death. So every person who's ever lived is going to be raised from the dead. Yeah. He did it through grace. And that is how mercy and grace are related. All right. Real quick here. Move my paper a little where I can see. We don't exercise mercy in order to obtain mercy. It's not a threat from God that if we don't exercise mercy on someone, we'll receive no mercy from Him. The verse I read where, with the merciful, He will show Himself merciful. Blessed are the merciful. It's not a threat. It's a promise. Blessed are the merciful. That is their character and their disposition, not simply a work that they do on purpose. Now, that's important. Do y'all understand what I'm saying there? Yes. Mercy is not a work we do. It's the disposition of our heart toward other people. We desire to show merciful. We desire to be merciful. We desire to help people. No matter how they got there, they're suffering. They're going to suffer forever. I mean, which of us could make an excuse for our sin to God? You think that would work? God came to Adam. Adam, where art thou? Why are you hiding from me? Adam said, well, I was naked and I was ashamed. Who told you you were naked? As you eat of that tree that I told you not to? Well, the woman, she gave it to me and I ate. See? Didn't work, did it? It didn't absolve Adam's guilt. So, there's none of us can do the same thing. We have no excuse. We can't say to God and give an explanation for how come we've done it. And He'll say, well, okay, I understand. No, we're guilty. That's the point. There's nothing but mercy. That's the only answer. That's the only hope we have. Blessed are the merciful. If we've obtained mercy, we'll show mercy. It's kind of like forgiveness. Just as we forgive because we are forgiven. And Jesus told us that if we don't forgive our brother, our Father in heaven will not forgive us. So, how do you forgive? Well, once you're forgiven, you can forgive others. You can't. It's a pretty good sign, somebody who's unforgiving, that they don't even know what it means. They've never experienced it. They don't know what it means, what it feels like, what it means to be forgiven, so they can't forgive somebody else. They're void of mercy. They're void of love. They're void of kindness. They're void of feeling for other people. They're just concerned about themselves. Just as we do good works because we're saved, not in order to be saved. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the people who feel that way. That's just what they are. That's what they are. Merciful. They don't do merciful things. They are merciful. You know, God is merciful. That's why we're here tonight. That's why we have any hope at all in eternity. The mercy of God. You reckon it'd ever make a difference in somebody else's life to be shown mercy from somebody else? You know, over in Iran and those Muslim countries over, I remember reading about it in Iran here. Not, it's been 2 or 3 years ago, maybe a little longer, but you know, their law is like an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You steal a loaf of bread, they'll cut your hand off. Do it again, they'll cut your arm off. Next time, they cut your head off. I mean, that's the way they do it. Eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And so if you kill somebody, man, they're going to kill you. That's all they are to it. They're going to cut your head off. Except, you know, they have one exception. If the family of the person who was murdered decides to show mercy, they'll waive the death sentence. I read a story about that that happened. This guy had killed this other guy, another man. And right at the last minute, that man who was dead, his family came and said, "We just want to forgive and show mercy." They let him go. Ain't that something? As mean as those people, some of them are, they still have that. That this is a thing that your conscience ought to teach you this. You ought to have enough natural feeling in you to show mercy. It's not like this is a real challenge for us. This ought to be our nature. Once we're a partaker of the divine nature, it ought to be part of our nature to be merciful toward other people. You know, being merciful would go a long ways in a lot of different ways. How about just helping somebody? You know? Like even in the home, you know, instead of letting mom do all the work, somebody could just chip in and help a little. That's mercy.
Yes, that's right.
that's trying to alleviate the load, the suffering, a little bit. Work. At work. Be good, wouldn't it, Dakota, Elizabeth, or Gary, if people would just help willingly without being begged to or threatened to? I mean, if you just go to, you got too much to do and you go to do something and somebody else did it because they knew you needed help and they just chipped in and helped you. Any kind of job would be better that way, wouldn't it? If you ever work with somebody who just stands there and watches and you do everything. They won't even hand you it if you're under a car and you need a tool. They're just standing there looking at it and they won't even. You got to crawl out and get it, crawl back. And, you know, I'm just saying, think of other people. Think of other people. Think of the trouble in their life, the load they're carrying, what they're going through. And lend a helping hand. That's mercy. Also. Mercy sometimes shows up disguised in garments of affliction, though. Sometimes you're really receiving mercy and you think you're being punished or something. Or being done an injustice. I know you've all heard this before, but Phyllis Wheatley was the first black woman poet in America. And she wrote these words about being brought from Africa to America. She said, "'Twas mercy brought me from my pagan land, taught my benighted soul to understand that there's a God, that there's a Savior too. Once I redemption neither sought nor knew. Some view our sable race with scornful eye. Their color is a diabolic dye. Remember, Christians, Negroes, black as Cain, may be refined and join the angelic train. She said, it's mercy. Me, being brought from Africa to America and made to be a slave, was the mercy of God. Well, this world don't understand that kind of stuff, do they? Well, she did. Praise the Lord. So before we receive mercy from God, we have to be broken by afflictions and heartache sometimes. That's right. The mercies we've received are cherished much more when we look back on them, because that's like what she was doing, see, looking back. I'm sure that when she was brought here and for years as a slave, she didn't think that way. But it's only when you find God's mercy that you realize. Yep. He's been doing this for a long time to bring me to this point. It was God's mercy. It wasn't His displeasure with me. It wasn't Him being mean to me, unfair to me, doing me an injustice. He had the long look in mind. That's what I said this morning when Seth was talking about wisdom and knowledge and understanding. That's how you tell real wisdom and real knowledge and understanding is because it has a long look. Yep. A broad view. Real wisdom doesn't just think about today or the immediate problem right now. Wisdom looks it all over and says, where are we going with this? What will this cause in the future? I mean, let's play this whole thing out. That's wisdom and understanding. So sometimes the mercy of God is like that. Paul was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was all that. The prophets, some of them were sawn asunder and stoned. And you know, but what was all that about? Was all that about the injustice and God just turning His back? No. No, it's the long look at the whole thing. Without them, without us, they couldn't be made perfect. We're part of that deal. That part of that deal that God's been working all this time. Just like her. The mercies we've received are cherished much more when we look back on them, because it's only then that we understand that they were the very mercies of God to us. Amen. Just a little bit of mercy goes a long way. Why do you show kindness to people? Mercy. All these things are so tangled up together. It's hard to figure out which one comes first, kind of like the chicken and the egg, you know? Are we merciful because we're kind? Or are we kind because we're merciful? Can't hardly figure that one out, can you? You can't be merciful without kindness, and you can't be kind without being merciful. So, amen. Seen somebody said they ordered a chicken and they ordered an egg and they'd let you know which one came first. All right, Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for Your mercy, most of all. Sure do realize tonight that that's why we're here. Look around us and wonder at those who've somehow missed it. And Lord, I'm sure glad tonight that I didn't somehow. Sure got a lot more than I deserve of blessings and wonderful things. I've sure not been dealt what I deserved, and I'm thankful for that. Lord, we love You tonight. Pray You'd watch over us going home. Pray You'd bless each life this week. Help us, Lord, each one to walk close to You and just walk in truth. Pray You'd help Seth and these others, Lord, that are sick this week, working their lives and help them and heal, I pray. And Lord, thank You for a good Lord's Day in Jesus' name. Amen.